Thompson. Kia ora and welcome to Property Matters. We're taking a break this week, but we found one of our favourite episodes for you to listen to, so here it is now. Matters, and as we look back on our first 100 episodes, I'm always interested in stats, so I thought I'd have a little dig behind the scenes as it's a special episode and kick off with a few interesting ones. Now, while we're live here in Auckland on an Auckland radio station, many of you listen to us through podcasts downloaded each week, and we're delighted that this is always in the thousands, with our biggest listenership being in Auckland, followed closely by Christchurch, with many weekly downloaders in Shirley. So thank you to the people of Shirley. I'll have to ask the team from Barford and Thompson if they're planning to open up in Shirley. That will be a question for later in the show. Now, our top download was episode 2 of this season, where we chatted to a young cadet, Joseph, about his journey from being an intern in property management all the way through to being a new business manager at a branch. His episode hit over 10,000 downloads in just 24 hours. So thank you to everybody that downloaded that one. This was followed closely by our first episode of last season with Nicole Lewis, author of Property Quadrants. Spotify seems to be your preferred platform for downloading the podcast, followed closely by iHeartRadio and Apple, so thank you to those platforms. With a massive shout out to AJ Gulati, who always posts a weekly comment or feedback on our YouTube channel. Thank you, AJ. We love hearing from our listeners. Speaking of listeners, thank you so much for listening from all around the Motu. You've played a huge part in these stats, and today we're looking forward to celebrating our 100th episode with you. And it seemed fitting to invite our sponsors of the show, Barfoot and Thompson, in to chat with us about their own journeys. And I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Company Director Stephen Barfoot, along with the CEO Chris Dobby and General Manager of Property Management Samantha Arnold, into the studio this afternoon. A big welcome along, team.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Great to have you all here. Oh, should I do the hard-hitting question first? Chris, Shirley, is Shirley on the list?
Not yet. No. We haven't thought about Christchurch.
Yeah, fascinating. We've got a huge listenership down there. Today I want to balance our interviews with, you know, a conversation around your career journeys and highlights, but also take a look at what's happening in the market today. So, Chris, I'm going to kick it off with you. Has real estate always been a part of your life?
Not really, no. I guess I was in Hamilton for the beginning of my career. I was with a construction firm down there that is no longer going. But after 30 years with Barfoot and Thompson, it does seem like it's been a big part of my life. So,
wow.
You know, you're 17 years as CFO, and the last 6 years as CEO. It's been just a huge part of who I am and who my family is, really.
Yeah.
Been on a journey.
I can imagine. Personal highlights during that time?
Personal highlights. Well, I guess personal highlights last year was a highlight for me with when we celebrated our centenary. And unbeknownst to me, I became was inaugurated into the Hall of Fame, and for me, that's, you know, you're sitting in the company of 20 other people in a 100-year-old company, and it's particularly special for me to be just thought of in that esteemed company.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. All right, Sam, as General Manager of Property Management, have you always had a passion for the rental side of things, or did your career start down a different pathway?
Well, I've been a lifelong real estate person, so I am a veteran of a real estate career, but I started my journey in sales as opposed to property management. I was a jumped up 18-year-old with a cheap suit and driving around in a Mini, and I thought I was the bee's knees. I often wandered around to different agencies. So I would go corporate and then I would go to a smaller family-run business. And then eventually I settled in property management. And the reason that I did is because I really enjoyed that long-term building of a relationship rather than the quick traction that you get with the sales. So that's kind of where I ended up. That's obviously with my accent is in London. and I actually exited the real estate for a brief 3 years and set up my own business in surveying and inventory services for real estate agents, which I sold then to come over to New Zealand, and that was back in 2012. I knew nothing about real estate in New Zealand, had no idea, but at the end of the day I thought, hey, landlords and tenants are the same here as they are there, I just need to understand the law. And that's where my research took place around where I wanted to work and who I wanted to work with. And I basically made a beeline for Buff and Thompson and hounded them until I got an interview.
Brilliant.
And the rest is history, as they say.
Love it. And in your role now as general manager, have you always been general manager or did you play other parts in the company?
No, so I came in training for property management people and teams and their managers, and then we saw an opportunity, or Chris thankfully in this room saw an opportunity for a general manager, and again I hounded him until I got an interview.
You realise, Chris, after this all these people are going to be writing to you. Dear Chris, I hear if I hound you. That's cool. What brought you to New Zealand?
Oh, my husband. I say that in a bad way, but it's not a bad thing. He's a Kiwi. He came over to play cricket, and his joke is that he came back with a bit more baggage. But he still plays cricket, and it's all good. Love being here. I love bringing the kids up in New Zealand. I wouldn't really want them to be brought up in London as it is at the moment. Love it. Love going back for trips, seeing the family, but right decision.
What are some of the biggest differences that you've noticed from the UK to here when it comes to real estate and property management, I guess?
In property management specifically, it's much more tenant focused in the UK. You've got squatters' rights and all sorts of difficult things that you would come across.
Oh,
however,
wow.
Since I've been gone, there's been quite a lot of regulation that's been put through for landlords and tenants, actually. There's a lot of changes that have happened that we've aligned ourselves with in New Zealand. So very, very similar, actually, now. Much more similar than it used to be.
Interesting. Okay, we might unpack that a bit more later if we have time. Stephen, as one of the company directors, walk me through, I guess, not only your career journey, but then I'm curious, the journey to become a director of this company. Like, is it a passing of a baton, or how does it work?
Yeah, well, I graduated from university in computer science, and I was fortunate to have a really good career in IT. I always wanted to, have a career outside before coming into the business, because, you don't want to be the guy who's there just because your dad's the boss. Right? Now, I ended up as the head of IT for the New Zealand division of a big multinational. And while I was there, Mark Thompson, who's Peter's late brother, came and tapped me on the shoulder and said, we're looking for an IT person for Buffett and Thompson. Do you want to come and join us? And at the time, I remember he said to me, you can start straight away as my IT guy, and, you'll be the head of IT for Buffett and Thompson. But if you have any ambitions of ever becoming a director, you're going to need to start as a salesperson.
Right.
And you're going to need to work your way through, various roles in the company. So I made the fateful decision to start as a salesperson, and that was the start of a 17-year long apprenticeship, in order to qualify to be a director.
Was there any part in that journey that you found the hardest of all the different roles that you sort of had to play?
Definitely. I mean, I was a very shy, introverted IT guy, and going from that into being a real estate salesperson was not a natural transition. I found that quite hard. but it was a fantastic experience. And you know, I'm really glad to Mark, you know, really thankful to Mark that he suggested that, because having that experience was invaluable.
100-year relationship of two families. Just remind our listeners, where did it all start?
Where did it all
start? Like, who kicked this off in the Barfoot and the Thompson families?
Oh, sure. Well, my grandfather started the business back in 1923 from relatively humble beginnings, a little, you know, one tiny office in Newmarket with a single phone and just him by himself. He at various times had, his brother, cousin involved in the business. And then, you know, he had the foresight, you know, when Morris Thompson came along to recognise something special in Morris, and had made Morris a partner in the business.
Brilliant. And the rest, as they say, is history. What was it like growing up in a family so passionate about real estate? Like, if you had turned around and said, hey, I want to follow a different path, I want to be a pilot or whatever, how would that have gone down?
I honestly think that would have been perfectly okay. Interestingly enough, my grandfather Val, who founded Barfoot and Thompson, and my father Chris, who was in the business for 40 years, neither of them really spoke about real estate or Barfoot and Thompson at home. It wasn't really a topic of conversation. and they were really just keen for us to, you know, be happy and succeed in whatever we wanted to do. And it's the same, you know, with my son Cole. You know, while, you know, I would love it if he wanted to eventually join the business at some stage, ultimately what's most important is that he's happy and, you know, follows his passion and is successful in whatever he wants to do.
Brilliant. So, Chris, what have been some of the biggest changes that you've seen over your time as CEO when it comes to the world of real estate?
I guess regulatory changes. They just keep coming year after year, and it means that our people have to be more aware, and there's so much more compliance that they have to deal with on a daily basis. I think, you know, the growth of teams has been huge in terms of real estate sales. We have the ability within Barfoot and Thompson to be able to sell anywhere. And you see those teams, you know, they work out of an office or a branch, but they're everywhere in Auckland. And so, if you look at our top performers, and that there's obviously individuals, but those who want to go to the next step, those big teams of about six or seven people, dominate our recognition awards. And so I think that's been a big change in the last 6 years. And I also think, you know, if I just think about the last couple of years or two or three years, I think AI is going to come in and change things up again. It'll give our people an opportunity. It'll give us an opportunity to look at data and analyse it, and perhaps make our people more prepared for when they go out talking with people. Because I think it is, you know, it's about using the technology, but having the people in a face-to-face relationship with people. I don't think, I can't see that ever changing. It's the biggest asset that anybody ever owns, so, yeah.
You were CEO during the dreaded COVID times. How did you sort of move and pivot to keep a real estate company successfully running during COVID?
Well, I think, you know, it was times that nobody had ever been through before. And so, you know, I guess that first week was a little bit of, gosh, what are we going to do here? And then you just become, it's a regular pattern. And so, you know, the directors and myself, we used to have daily meetings, and just it was connecting with our people when we weren't able to connect with them. So, you know, in a physical way. So, you know, we would take a branch at a time and ring them up just to make sure that our people were okay. And you know, you just kind of have to go back to basics and go, well, how are we going to do business? And so I think it showed that a company even as large as Barfoot and Thompson could be very, very agile and make decisions far quicker than we probably had been previously. And I think for us as an industry, it kind of thrust us into the future.
Yeah.
We'd, for so long, we had kind of thought, oh, well, maybe we should do this, whereas during that time, it said we actually have to do this. Mm. So, I think it was actually timely. Not that you'd want a pandemic every year or every 5 years, but it was.
But it taught you to quickly put some new tools in your toolbox,
absolutely.
And then several of them to keep running.
Mm.
Yeah, how many Zooms did you do a day?
So many that I don't really feel like doing anymore now.
Still haven't recovered. Stephen, you have a real passion for technology, and Chris just mentioned, you know, AI coming into effect now. How has technology changed, I guess, more in the recent years in the way we're viewing or purchasing homes?
Well, this is going to sound a bit strange coming from an IT guy, but this is something that I actually, you know, agree with my 93-year-old father on. He always says that, you know, the most important thing is the people and, you know, having the right team of people around you. And I agree with that. I think that, you know, technology can help our people to do their jobs more effectively. It can help our, you know, our clients and customers search for properties online and that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, you know, the most important thing is, you know, working with a great salesperson or a great property manager. I mean, it's such a big and important asset for most people that I don't think that fundamental is likely to change anytime soon.
Okay, cool. Is it similar for property management in this technology space?
Yeah, I mean, even further back than that, if we go back to the COVID, the times with, and reiterating exactly what these guys have both said, really, it was, aside from the technology piece, the biggest difference that I noticed was the connection of the human factor, the connection, the reconnection, because we went from a fairly formal structured environment with our teams, with our staff, with even tenants and landlords, to one that became much more personal, much more connected and much more trusting. But then if you look at specifically the tech space and what we brought in there, during that time we brought in online videos, online viewings. Tenants were happy to do Zoom inspections with us just to comply with the insurance regulations. And then by the time we came out of COVID, we were all much more, I don't know whether I'd say tech savvy, but tech ready, and we were ready to accept bigger change.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw that as an opportunity and immediately went in and changed some of our CRM systems, etc., and people were actually much more accepting of it. And now we've got many more things that are going to come in and help those people to deliver that excellent customer piece that we're wanting, that again is much more tech focused. So, you know, portals for landlords or inspections that are digital and videoed and things like that that we've never seen before is becoming much more of a norm.
Mm. But still keeping the human contact.
Absolutely,
in there.
Yeah.
I can remember, I think it was during COVID or after COVID, at a conference or online thing, I'm pretty sure it was Japan, that had the VR headsets that you could get couriered to your house, and you paid a deposit and you sort of put your VR headset on and wandered around all these different places to rent, and then you sent it back before you were allowed to apply for a tenancy. You had to send your headset back. But I guess so much of property management is that building relationship, that gut feeling, that trust, and it's a two-way thing between the tenant and the agent, which all disappears if it's 100% technology.
Yeah, absolutely. In my view, and I think I speak for everyone in this room, technology is a huge thing for mundane tasks, or AI for reading things and doing all the automation, but nothing will compare to that interaction that you give, the experience that someone feels from human interaction.
Mm.
Mm.
Chris, we've kind of, you know, touched on it now, but we have had some managers come in on the show who have talked about the old days of picking somebody up to go and look to buy a house, and they'd take them for the day. They might stop and have lunch with them. Or I remember one manager saying, look, we did ice creams at 3 o'clock just to sort of keep going. But by the end of the day, they often had a sale, you know. Is technology replacing that, or dare I say it, is the PC world perhaps replacing that, where we're not saying, hey, jump in my car and let's go for a drive around for the day? Is that a good or a bad thing?
Oh, look, I think the PC world has changed. Our buyers are far more informed than they've ever been, but I still think it's still about relationships. You don't have to hop into a car and have them come into the office, hop in the back seat and drive them round. You know, I was thinking about the interview I did with Anna, who said, you know, she kind of said that her learning from a mentor of hers was sit in the back, buckle up, and, you know, shut up. So it was
as a salesperson,
right?
Yeah,
a salesperson. And so I think that mentoring side is still there, but, you know, people are just more informed now. They're, you know, you can't go anywhere, whether it be lunch or dinner, and people are on their iPhones but that relationship, they need the salesperson to buy the property. So, you know, whether they eliminate properties out of what they're looking at, and then they go, well, I need to see these three properties, can you take me? And it's all about that relationship at that point in time.
Absolutely. Sam, alongside technology, there's been a lot of regulation changes over the years, and with our recent government change, some things heading backwards, I guess, or potentially in a good way. One thing we expected was a move to regulating property management more, but that seems to be off the cards now. Where do you stand on all of these changes over the last few years?
So this one in particular, the regulation, has been quite a frustrating process for anyone that's in the industry that was fighting for it. So Real Estate Institute, for example, having sat on the steering committee for 8 years, this was the main topic that we would often talk about, becoming regulated. And we were, you know, we were all for it as a business. We believed that it was one of the best things that we could do. We manage millions of dollars in assets. We manage funds. And to have some people in the industry just not meet the basic standards of not having audited trust accounts and not training their staff even to the bare minimum standards was actually very frustrating for us to see. Often we'd often see in the newspaper articles of all of these terrible things that property managers had done, and not at any time were these people being held accountable. So for us, we really had a big push on it. So to hear that it had made the list, if you see what I mean, in Parliament, and it was going to all of the different readings, was a success for us, and we really did welcome it at the time. I did get a little bit nervous the more it came closer, because it became to get more complicated. Red tape started to arrive, expense got put in there, and I think that's probably why it got canned. It was just one of those things, wrong timing and too confusing. So for me, I was disappointed to see it off the table, but not in the current form that it was left. I would still expect, and I believe that there's still talks about there being a light touch of property management or industry regulation of such, and that could be something as simple as licensing, but I personally would still like to see private owners in there as well. Very similar to the UK model, so I quite often look back at what they're doing, or Australia even. They do have in some states licensing, and that's just bare minimum to make sure that everyone's at least reaching that threshold.
And your company, as such, would almost tick all those boxes automatically by sort of the training that you put your team through, the trust accounting, all of that stuff. You're very much regulated within yourselves, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much. So that was one of the first things that I did when I started in this business, was recognise that the whole industry needed to be professionally higher. And so we started it within our own business. You can't preach and not practice. So we have an amazing programme that we run through for every single person that comes into our business, in the property management business. But we open that up for our salespeople and our managers and anyone who wants to come along as well, so that we've got a good all-round expertise. and so that anyone that you can go to should be giving you the same response. And we're all audited. We know that we're safe in the grounds that everything human being wise is exactly where it should be. Obviously, you're going to have your trip ups every now and again, but yeah, I think we're in a great place.
And with the sort of bring back of the 90-day rule for being able to move a tenant on, things like the pet bonds that we've been talked about, do you think we've kind of seen all we're going to see from this government for now? Or is this a wait and see? There could be more?
Oh, no, it's still not finished yet. We're still being asked. We quite often ask to give feedback on what it should look like or could look like. What we say doesn't always get taken into account. Obviously, they've got their own views on things. But nothing's for certain until it's written. So we're still giving feedback on the pets, we're still giving feedback on the 90 days, the 20 days, the everything else. So hopefully, we've just put a recent submission through and they're looking for oral submissions as well. And that will be in the coming week. So, yeah, change is definitely the one thing that's consistent.
All right, Chris, time to get your crystal ball out of your bag now. Looking at the current state of the market, what trends are you seeing? And if you were looking through your crystal ball, what's it telling you about where we're heading for the second half of this year?
Well, we know that we're 15 to 20% up on last year. I don't think that the Reserve Bank is going to do anything in much before November with the rates as they are. So I think it'll be a steady as we go. There's not going to be... We're in the middle of winter right now, and we have a number of listings on our books. I don't think that there's no fear of missing out from buyers, so they have a lot of choice out there. And, I don't see any big change until 2025, really.
Okay, and Stephen, with the new regulations on debt-to-income ratios, loan-to-value ratios, interest deductibility and the new bright line period, are you expecting to see things change as a result of all of those tweaks, or is this, as Chris is saying, probably more 2025 and beyond?
Yeah, well, I think, no doubt those things will have an effect. But the reality is New Zealand is quite a small country, and it's my observation that what's happening internationally seems to have far more of an impact on our market than any local policies we have in place. Things like our net migration, the policies that overseas governments have about capital outflows, the global trends in inflation and interest rates, they all have a big impact on where we end up. I think it pays to remember that New Zealand real estate is very desirable internationally. I'm a little bit biased, but I think New Zealand is the most beautiful country in the world, and we tend to forget about this, but our regulation and our taxes are very light compared to overseas. Having lived in North America and having spent some time living in Scotland recently, the difference is quite marked. Like if you look at Scotland, yes, they have a fantastic healthcare system, which I'm very grateful for, but they also, their income tax rates are much higher than ours. There's no interest deductibility. And if you want to buy an investment home, there's a 12% stamp duty.
Wow.
We are very attractive.
So for our investors listening today, what are your top tips, Stephen? A top tip for an investor today?
Well, my advice for investors is to get good advice and support around them. You need to have a good team, a really good financial advisor, a mortgage broker, real estate agent, and most importantly, a good property manager. It always amuses me listening to stories that people have about, the trouble they have with their property, answering phone calls in the middle of the night and, dealing with sewage overflows and, unpaid rent. And I say to them, you can have your property managed and it's all tax deductible. And they say, oh, okay.
That's a nice segue to you, Sam. Do you have a top tip for an investor?
I think if you're a true investor, always is a good time to buy. As long as you're going to keep hold of it and it's for the long-term gain and you buy well, and you get the right advice to begin with, obviously. But if you're a long-term investor, it's always a good time to purchase and hold on.
Yeah. All our mortgage brokers that we've had on the show over the years, you know, when's a good time? Now. Mm. They don't even let me finish the sentence. Mm. Now. It's now. If you've got the money, make it happen. Chris, anything you'd add?
I agree with Sam that, you know, it's never a better time than right now. I guess the current government is seeing that they're making changes, you know, the bright line test, the deductibilities that they've put in place now. And so everything would point to, if you've had the right advice, then, you know, start looking.
Hmm.
If you have the money, start looking.
Now, Chris and Sam, if someone's thinking of a career in sales or property management, what advice would you give them? And I guess from a sales point of view, is now a good time, Chris, to make a career move? Or should they hold off and see if the market grows?
I think actually getting into the sales side in a tough market is a good time to get in.
Good training ground, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't. You know, as you move into it, you don't actually, the market is the market. So you're not, you know, you're not looking back 3 or 4 years and going, oh, it was so much better back then. So I think it's a good time to get into the market. It takes you 6 to 12 months to get up and running. So why not start that in a tough market? And then when the times change, the work you put in now will benefit you in those times. So I would, you know, if you're thinking of a career change, then now is as good as any time.
And being a family-run business, not a franchise, you also open up opportunities for salespeople and property managers, etc., to work their way into, say, branch management or other roles in at your support centre. So it is a real career journey, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think we have a career pathway within Barfoot and Thompson that suits everybody. You know, you can start at the front desk at a branch and work your way into property management, into sales. The world's your oyster, really. And I think, you know, I've been with Barfoot and Thompson 30 years, and, you know, I've seen these people come through the system, and it's just, and real estate is a wonderful, it's a wonderful career, because every day is different, and you meet different individuals every day, and you're working with different people, and it's just, it to me, it's like, as somebody who came into this as a newbie, it's been it's why I'm still here.
Sam, property management from a career point of view?
Yeah, I'd say what I'm going to say is going to apply across the board. So whether it's commercial, body, corporate, property management or sales, it's a fairly easy industry. There's a low bar threshold for you to be able to get in. But one of the biggest things is having the right attitude and the willingness to learn. It's well worth considering this as an option for your career. And it can be hugely beneficial and rewarding. But the advice that I would give is that you make sure you choose the right company to work with, the one that aligns with your values and the beliefs, because it's not an easy job.
Mm-hmm.
And working for the right company is what will get you through those hard times. But property management, go for it. Go for gold.
Chris, with your role as CEO, you know, you often have to focus on sort of delivering the vision and the strategy for the future. As an innovative company, what's your focus areas at the moment? Can I ask that without giving away trade secrets to the people in Shirley?
Absolutely. I think data and the analysis of the data that we hold. We have this huge data warehouse, and making that make sense for our people and giving us a sense of direction. I think if we can utilise that data using AI, and it gives us an opportunity to use AI, then it puts our people in a better place to be out in the market talking to vendors and purchasers and in the property management space. So that would be one of the key things that I would be looking at in innovation.
Is that similar for you, Sam?
Oh, most definitely. So on the back of Chris and the director's strategic plan, as a division, we created a business plan on how we could align directly with that. And one of the biggest controlled focuses for us, whether it be through technology, people or leadership, is customer excellence. So everything that we're doing has that lens on it. So all departments, all people that are within the property management division are all leaning towards that. So it's a focus that's not going to end anytime soon. Yeah.
Brilliant. Now, Stephen, today we're celebrating our 100th episode. Last year, as a company, as you said at the beginning, celebrated 100 years in business. What do you think is the key to the longevity that you've had?
Well, first of all, congratulations on 100 episodes.
Thank
that's,
you.
Very impressive. Well, in terms of longevity for Barfoot and Thompson, I think, first of all, it's something that we can't take for granted. You know, we're related to the Coe family on my mother's side, and I know, you know, for them having to close their business after, you know, in their 145th year has been really, you know, terrible, you know, experience. So, you know, we always, something we think about, you know, we feel a responsibility to carry on the business and also a responsibility to the, you know, almost 3,000 people who work for Barfoot and Thompson to keep the business strong. I think in terms of, you know, how have we got here, I think there's three areas which have been really important. And the first one is the partnership, which we talked about, you know, before. You know, my grandfather, you know, making Morris Thompson a partner was an extremely wise move. And I feel incredibly privileged to work with Peter Thompson today. And, you know, look forward to working with future generations of Thompsons. I think that partnership is incredibly special. Number two is, you know, how both families, I think, are passionate about reinvesting in the business for the longer term. And it's kind of a, you know, a apocryphal story within Barfoot and Thompson of, you know, Monty Thompson, Peter's uncle, who used to have a list on his desk of all the mortgages that we had over the buildings that we owned, and he would take great joy in, you know, crossing them off one by one.
Love it.
And I think, you know, the third, but arguably the most important thing, is the people. You know, I think that, I, you know, hand on heart can say that, you know, we have the best people in the business working at Barfoot and Thompson. And it's those people who have made Barfoot and Thompson what it is today, and those people who will continue to make it what it becomes in the future.
Brilliant. Chris, I've only got 30 seconds, but if you are, you've expanded out of Auckland quite a bit into sort of the Bay of Plenty region recently, is there plans for further expansion? Is that a watch this
that's
space?
A, that's a no.
No?
If I've only got 30 seconds, it's a no at this point in time. Yeah,
do what you've got and do it well. Be experts in the area.
I think it's just time to consolidate and get those up and running, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on and for sharing this special episode with us, and for the wonderful work that you do. And most importantly, thank you so much for sponsoring our show. So as we wrap the show, huge thank you to Sam, Stephen and Chris. As it's our 100th episode, I want to say a few thank yous to others that are involved in the show. First of all, Barfoot & Thompson for their sponsorship and support. It makes all this possible. To Sam, my manager, for allowing the space to run this each week. Big thank you to the Barfoot & Thompson marketing team, especially Paul, for our weekly graphics. To Matt, Tony and the team from Agency X, who create all our social media promotions each week. You guys are awesome. We really value what you do. huge thank you to young Adam, who has edited many an episode for us to replay over the 2 years as our best bits, and to the team here at Planet FM. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your fabulous station. To all our guests who come on and share their knowledge and expertise with us, we couldn't do the show without you. But most of all, to you, our fabulous listeners, whether that's here in Auckland live on radio or those listening to our podcast from all over New Zealand, including Shirley and the world, thank you so much. We're going to take our winter break now, and we'll be playing our Best Bits episodes for the next couple of months, and we'll be back in here with the next season kicking off in September. Until then, keep investing in property, keep sharing your stories with us. Take care, and we'll catch you soon. Thanks everyone, take care.